And open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to be spending most of our time there this morning. Genesis chapter 6. When I was 18, I started working at a tire shop. And it didn't take me very long to realize that I was pretty much the only one there who held any kind of religious beliefs. The ones that did believe in God didn't care. Most didn't believe in God at all. Maybe you've been in a situation like that. Maybe you're in a situation like that right now. But if you have been in that situation, you know how lonely that can feel, that you are the only one there who believes what you believe. Can you imagine being Noah? Can you imagine being Noah in the world that he lived in, living in the generation that he lived among? I think Noah is one of the most remarkable characters in all of the Bible. And I hope this morning that we'll see with one another how needed the example of Noah is in our lives today. We know from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 that Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless. And in Noah chapter 6 and verse 8 it says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found favor. But I think we can't fully appreciate Noah's righteousness, Noah's blamelessness, the fact that he found favor in the eyes of the Lord until we understand the world that he was living in. And the events that led up to that world where God looks down and says, "All I see is evil." I heard one preacher call it the degeneration of a generation. And so at the beginning of Genesis, we have God creating the heavens and the earth. He creates man and woman, and he says that it's good, it's very good. But then in Genesis chapter 3, we have the fall. Man and woman sin, and God casts them out of the garden. And then in Genesis chapter 4, there are two notes that I want to make that are really interesting that I think help us see how this generation began to degenerate. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 19, there's almost this casual note here. In verse 19, it says, "And Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah." Up until this point, we have seen one man taking one woman. In the garden, we have Adam and Eve. In chapter 4, it talks about Cain and his wife in verse 17. But then here in verse 19, it says Lamech took two wives. Lamech here rebels against God's original plan for marriage in the very beginning. One man leaves his family, one woman leaves her family, and they come together and they join as one flesh. But Lamech rebels against God's plan and he takes two wives. Why is this of note? Why does this point towards the wickedness of Noah's generation? Well, when we look back through history at the rampant wickedness running through societies and the decline of those very same societies, the beginning of the end is almost always marked by a destruction of God's plan for marriage and God's plan for the family. And so we see it here. In chapter 4, you have Lamech. He takes two wives. Two chapters later, Lamech's son Noah is living in a generation where God looks down and he says, "All I see is evil." Another thing of note in Genesis chapter 4, we see escalating violence. Genesis chapter 4 begins with the story of Cain and Abel. Cain is jealous that his brother Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, and in cold blood, He kills his brother. And then that very same character, Lamech, just a little while later, he kills a young man just for wounding him. And he writes a song about it and he brags to his wives. And in verse 24, he says, "If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold." Escalating violence. He's reveling in his violence. All of this leads to the generation of Noah. And you see how remarkable it is that Noah was righteous in the world that he was living in? In Genesis chapter 6, I want to notice what God has to say about it. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and 7, we see what God sees and then we hear what he has to say about it. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. God looks down and what he sees is wickedness, and he sees their evil, and he sees right to the very core of who they are. Can you imagine how evil somebody would have to be for every thought that they have to be evil continually? I can't imagine that. But when God looks down, that's exactly what he sees. And this statement is perhaps the greatest condemnation of their wickedness. He was sorry that he made them. He regretted making man. But then we have verse 8. It's one of the greatest verses of hope in the Bible, with two words, but Noah. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was one bright light shining in a sea of darkness because he was righteous, because he was blameless. Noah looks down and he sees Noah and he favors God sees Noah and he favors him and he decides to visit his grace and his mercy on this man. I don't know all of the ways that Noah's righteousness was displayed, but I know one thing for certain from Hebrews chapter 11, Noah had an incredible amount of faith. I want to notice what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says about Noah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah had incredible faith. And I think it's interesting. It says that God warned him about things yet unseen. What was going to happen, Noah had never experienced. There was no physical evidence to provide to Noah to say, this is going to happen, you should believe me. No one else had that evidence either. But Noah believed God's warning. He believed God's warning about things yet unseen. And so it says that he constructed an ark. He constructed an ark, and it says, by this he condemned the world. By accepting God's warning and preparing Noah, Noah's actions screamed out in opposition and condemnation to a generation that did not want to listen to God, that did not want to follow him, and that were living in direct opposition and rebellion to God's natural order. Noah is remarkable. His example is incredible. And we need to follow it. I want to share some lessons with you I think we see from Noah. First of all, Noah found favor, and so can we. I think this is an important lesson because when I look in Genesis chapter 4 and I see how God's plan for marriage was beginning to be rebelled against. We see the escalating violence. I look out in our world and I see the very same thing happening. I don't know if we're at the point or when we'll get to the point where God looks down and he says, enough. I'm done with this. But those very things that were happening in Genesis 4, the degeneration of a generation, they're happening now. Our generation is degenerating. We see violence pervading through our world. There's physical violence. We see verbal violence. There's violence everywhere in our entertainment. It's in our movies, graphic violence in our video games. It's everywhere. And it's saturating the world. And if we allow it to saturate us, then it creates a breeding ground within us for these very same actions and these very same ideas. Well, I'm going to give a little bit here on the whole marriage thing. Or violence doesn't really affect me, so I can stand a little bit of it. And that leads to, okay, I can do a little bit of violence, but that's not that bad. That's not how we're supposed to live in this world. We're supposed to follow the example of Noah. We need to be that bright light in the sea of evil, standing in opposition to the wickedness we see in our world. Noah found favor in God's eyes, and we can too. What a great thought that is. And finally, we need to speak out. We cannot remain silent as we see the degeneration of this generation. If we believe the warning that God has given to us in Scripture, the wages of sin is death, then that should lead us into action. Noah believed the warning of God about things yet unseen, and he took action. He built an ark. If we believe the warnings from God, then we will carry out our actions, and it will come out in the way we speak, in the way we act, and in how we live. Our actions must cry out in condemnation of the evil we see everywhere in our world. The example of Noah is needed today. We need to pay attention to what he did, how he was righteous, how he was blameless, so that we too can find favor in the eyes of our God. I want to end this morning with a message of hope. Noah accepted the warning of God, and he did something about it. And God saved him and his family. Noah built the ark, and God saved him. And if we take the warnings of God and we carry them into action, God offers that same salvation to us. It is a wonderful gift from our Creator. This morning, if you are not a Christian, we want to urge you to put your faith in God, to believe in Him, and to come to Him in baptism, and to be raised in newness of life. We want to help you do that. If you are a Christian and you're struggling with sin in your life, we want to help you however we can to make your life right with Him. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing together.